told the truth. I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my coat but hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I'd like to welcome everyone here today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Reverend Jim Baldwin. I'm a retired United Church minister, having lived in Ottawa for most of my life and served churches here. It's indeed an honor to be here today and to be leading you through this time of remembering, a time of praise. I was at a Leonard Cohen symposium in Montreal years ago, and we listened to the song and the hallelujah. It's just it's a way of putting something into words that we can't always articulate. And on a day like today, when we come to remember a woman who lived her life so well, I think hallelujah is a good way to start. Our service will be complete here in the chapel. There will be a reception immediately following, and that's downstairs. If you need an elevator, there is one available. And then there will be a committal at some time in the spring. I'd like to begin with a poem that I heard many years ago, and it's one of my favorites. And when I heard that Marie was born in Newfoundland, this was the first one that came to mind. It's called The Tall Ship. A ship sets sail for a far and distant shore. She is tall and grand in mast and spar, and as she sets her sails to the morning breeze, a crowd gathers to watch her go. Until only a speck, she slips over the horizon, and someone at your side is heard to say, "There, she's gone." Gone where? Gone only from your sight, that is all. She is still as tall and grand in mast and spar. Her diminished size is in you, not in her. And as surely as someone at your side is heard to say, "There she's gone," there are other eyes watching and other voices waiting to take up the glad shout, "There she comes." And this is what we call dying, because death is only a horizon, and a horizon is nothing but the limit of our sight. As we enter into this time of worship, this time of remembering, I have a question for you. Who was Marie Green to you? Who was she to you? Each person here has a different relationship with Marie and different memories to go along with it. And it's really the combination of all of those memories that create the fullness of her being here on earth. I did not have the honor of knowing Marie personally, but what I do know of her has come from my conversation with Anne. And it was in that conversation that I learned of her devotion to family, her pride in her home and her garden, her volunteer work, her hobbies. I learned about a woman who lived her life to the fullest and had no regrets. But I think what really stood out most for me as I was listening to Anne talk about her mom was to hear that she was a teacher who never stopped learning. Throughout our service, you're going to hear tributes given by the people who did know her And as you do, I encourage you to consider one more question. What are the lessons that we can learn from her life? She was a teacher who never stopped learning, and yet she still has much to teach us. And if we can take those lessons and we can use them to put some positive energy back into the world, then we not only remember her, we bring honor to her name with a grateful hallelujah. At this time, I'd like to invite Jim to come forward, and he's going to have our first reading.
Thank you. Desiderata, written in 1927 by Max Ehrman. Go placidly amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even to the dull and the ignorant, for they too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexatious to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter. For always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career. However humble, it is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be. And whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy.
I wanted to speak about Mom Marie following this poem because I believe she lived by many of these words. She was a collector of quotes, as we discovered. She kept them in a book, and of course, as we read them, we realized, oh, we've heard some of those words before. Mom was gracious. She exuded a dignified elegance. She was proud of the way her mother raised them, she and her siblings, in Newfoundland, speaking proper British English and using correct grammar. She was still correcting our grammar during her last days in the hospital, which we kind of cherish now. She was proud of other things, proud but never boastful. She took pride in keeping a lovely home and garden. She took pride in the way she looked, taking care to look nice. It never failed before we left her room to join others She had a quick peek in the mirror to check her appearance and apply a quick swipe of lipstick. She was proud of her family, her husband, her children, and her grandchildren. Mum was gentle and kind. She cared deeply about family and her friends. She enjoyed entertaining and being involved in many community groups and activities, such as book clubs, bridge clubs, volunteer endeavors. In Pinawa, she joined a recorder group and a rug hooking group, making several beautiful rugs. She nurtured her friendships and reached out to people when they were sick or needed help. She looked out for others and made sure others were included. She had genuine concern for people and their well-being. But don't think that this kind, generous spirit meant that she was a pushover. In many ways, she was a peacemaker, not wanting to ruffle feathers or upset others. But together with this, she spoke her mind clearly and usually directly. She spoke up for herself and was often quick with a comeback. When my dad took a position as head of the Atomic Energy Laboratory in Pinawa, Manitoba, Mum naturally accompanied him. There was a house for them to live in and various other perks that made this position a noted one. Being the wife of the head, Mum assumed a certain role. At a reception held to welcome both Mum and Dad to the community, a resident of Pinawa told Mum, "Oh, you will have big shoes to fill in replacing Mrs. So-and-so." I don't remember who it was, and I wouldn't say if I did. Referring to the woman who last held this official position as wife of the head. To which Mum quickly, directly, yet with her dignified presence, replied, "Oh, I don't believe I will fit into anyone else's shoes. My feet require very particular shoes." And I'm sure she smiled sweetly while she said that. She didn't try to be anyone else. She was true to herself. "To thine own self be true." This is something Mum believed and lived by. She nurtured one's belief in self. Sometimes when faced with a challenge, rather than push me to tackling it, she would encourage me in another way. In grade 6, I was asked to give my speech in front of the whole school as part of a public speaking contest. The speech was to be given after lunch, and in those days, you went home for lunch. So I was home for lunch. When I was home for lunch, I got a serious case of the nerves. Butterflies in my stomach, sweaty palms, and I didn't want to go back to school. And I let her know that. I don't want to go back. Mum told me, "You don't have to go back. But I wonder what you will feel if you don't. If you don't try, will you always wonder if you could?" She gave me the opportunity to choose for myself, to believe in myself. I did go back, by the way, and I gave the speech. This isn't to say she didn't have doubt. She did, but she chose optimism and perhaps a philosophical outlook on life. Many people who've reached out to us this past week have said they remember Mum's smile and her pleasant, positive spirit. Evidence of this could be the way she whistled while she worked, or burst into song around the house. And I'm sure there's at least one of us who may have been known to ask her, "Mom, could you try not to sing when our friends come over?" I believe she nurtured this optimistic attitude. She didn't let us linger in being miserable. When we were down, she suggested exercise or fresh air to improve the mood. When life brought a rainy day and maybe dampened our plans, she turned that into a perfect sewing day or a baking day. She found the silver lining. When we were stressed or worried, she would ask, "What is the worst thing that could happen?" And we would talk through various scenarios, usually realizing that the worst thing was not the end of the world, another one of her sayings. As the events of life occurred, both the good and the bad, she would say, the universe is unfolding as it should. She felt she was born a teacher, as were others in her family before her. She was very organized. She was a list maker and a note taker. She was also a lifelong learner. As an adult, she continued learning spoken French. She learned to ski, both cross country and downhill, to play bridge, to play tennis, and to swim. She and Dad loved the challenge of cryptic crosswords, something my younger brother is continuing. When she turned 80, her birthday gift was an iPad. Living in a town like Deep River brought many visiting scientists from various countries around the world. Both Mom and Dad were open to all people from all of these places. They welcomed these visitors and newcomers into their home and were eager to learn of their culture. Mom was keen to learn to make dishes from various other cultures. Anyone who spent an afternoon with Mom knew what a storyteller she was. Some of these stories were of her own childhood and life growing up in Newfoundland, stories of regatta day, stories of school accomplishments, stories of boys who fancied her and of the protective big brothers who kept an eye on her. Although there were times, I must admit, when I thought, uh-oh, here we go, that story about Mom and Aunt so-and-so again. In recent years, I just enjoyed hearing them again and again, knowing that the day would come when the stories would stop and I would wish to hear them. In the past few years, she reflected on what a wonderful life she lived. She did not focus or worry about her life coming to an end. She felt gratitude for her loving family, friends, dear husband, and wonderful adventures. It is as though her kind, gentle spirit treads softly through life on those particular feet of hers. But where she tread, she left lasting footprints.
As you came in today, you were given some song lyrics, and this time we're going to sing How Great Thou Art. I would invite you to stand.
How great thou art. then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Our tributes continue with Linda Green.
Okay. So, I'm going to need to hold this up so that I can see. And if I'm speaking too quickly, I've asked my brother to give me a signal, which... So, when I think of mom, words come to mind like zest, gusto, resolve, feisty, soft, loving, and vulnerable. But I find it impossible to evoke mom's spirit with these words, so I'll speak instead about the gifts that her example leaves us. Gifts like laughter, caring, a love of ideas and reading, courage, passion, and treasuring memories of fun and loving times, which she did through the many big albums that she kept, our family historian. When our father died, I spoke of his great love of life and desire to excel at everything he did. This was no less true of our mom. Her many loves included our father, first of all. Their love lasted their lifetimes, and what a great match they were. They traveled the world together, entertained many, many times together, and shared many pursuits. From a willingness to move, and Anne has referred to some of this, from a willingness to move and live in different parts of Canada, to taking up hiking, cross-country skiing, swimming, or tennis, whatever it was, Mom was game, and she gave it a whirl. I see, looking back, that Mom must have been quite adventurous. Even as a child, when her family moved from St. John's, the city in Newfoundland, to the much smaller mining community on Belle Island, Mom said it was exciting, they thought. She was ridiculed by her new schoolmates for speaking like a townie, but she refused to be discouraged by that because, as a teacher pointed out, and she agreed, it was better to be laughed at for speaking correctly than incorrectly. Mom embraced all the new experiences that life with our dad brought to them both. In their moves from St. John's to Halifax, on to Montreal for Dad's continuing studies in physics, later to Deep River, Pinawa, and eventually Ottawa, as some of you living here know. Mom had an infectious enthusiasm and love of life and people. Everywhere Mom was, she was at home because she embraced people, they embraced her back, and the result was community. Mom loved nature. As you know, armed with binoculars and a very well-thumbed bird book, she identified all the birds who visited her garden, another of her loves. And after she had surgery for life-threatening melanoma in the 1980s, she felt compelled to visit the mountains in Western Canada for what she believed would be the last time, though it turned out not to be. She shared that experience, too, with my sister Anne and I. Like Dad, Mom loved to excel at things. When we were emptying her house in 2021, we found a very well-used copy of the Oxford Dictionary of Literary Quotations, which she won for scholastic achievement in her final year of high school. And she had access to post-secondary education, I think remarkably, because... And Judy and Richard can tell me if this is fact. You can fact check for this for me later. Because after her father was burned badly in a mining accident, I believe the mining company provided support to the family for education. Yeah? She studied education at Memorial University in Newfoundland and had very fond memories of her teachers and classmates there. Mom had a very studious mind, as Anna has also alluded to. After I was born, when she was only 22, she had to find a library, she said, because she was dying to do math problems. And perhaps this contributed to her skill in bridge, because which is very mathematical, I think. And I don't play it. And the many books, along with the many books she studied to advance her game. She and Dad played competitively with friends and in clubs and with her sisters May and Gwen and their husbands Rex and Bob, and loved the game. My sister Anne and her husband Jim are the only ones, I think, in the family so far to pick up on this interest. Before I was born, Mom worked as an elementary school teacher. She taught English as a second language later and volunteered for a time at the Queensway Carleton Hospital and also the Ottawa Newcomers Club, which brought many friendly associations she maintained up to recently. Mom and Dad were very active socially, and Mom loved and kept in touch with friends and families across Canada over many, many years. Mom was well-read, and that mattered to her. She belonged to several book clubs and exchanged books with friends and neighbors. She studied French literature with a small group of Ottawa women, and through this club discovered one of her favorite novels written by a French novelist, Jean d'Ormesson, which was about a family dynasty. She read and reread that book, and when it fell apart, she got another copy. Mom's love of art, ideas, and literature and the value she placed on education uplifted all of us. We were encouraged to read and learn, and we grew up schooled in Canadian art and politics by the ever-present CBC Radio. Mom's house was full of paintings that told the story of her life with our dad, of the of the places they lived and the people they knew. Among them, Deep River artists like Jeannie Bigham, Tom Alexander, and Rena Purdy. Mom was a woman of strong opinions. She was a natural and passionate advocate when she saw something that could be improved upon, and this was true to the end of her life, even including her stay at the Queensway Carleton Hospital. She told us she successfully advocated to the Deep River Town Council for increased funding for ballet based on gender equity. And it was suggested to her that she might consider running for council, but preferring a less fraught life, she didn't follow up on that suggestion. Mom loved her children and grandchildren, Sarah and her husband, Anthony, Isaac and Alyssa, who are here. And she let us all know we were loved. One of the greatest gifts I received from our mom, though, was the opportunity to get to know her better the last few years and to share new experiences with her. Mom loved, one memorable evening this year, we sang Beatles songs on the phone together. Mom loved music, a love shared by our father, and the many musicians who performed at Valley Stream Retirement Community raised her spirits greatly. Mom was lucky enough to live in the retirement home with two of her close friends in Ottawa, Helen Gordon, who's here today, and Irene Bossens. She was still in touch with her neighbors from Ash Grove, Arian, whose son Michael is here today, and Helga Shipman. So as well as her close Deep River friends and our many cousins, including Judy and Richard Taylor, who are here today, and our Aunt Lydia, who's also here today, as well as Jim's sister, Margaret Ann, who's here with your daughter, I think? Yes. Margaret Ann, all of you who let her know she was valued and remembered. She appreciated you all. I was very proud of Mom, of the time she spent in the Valley Stream Retirement Home, because I was proud of her courage in reinventing herself all over again after spending her whole lifetime with our dad. Mom was raised Anglican, and although she and our father raised us in the United Church, Mom never stopped feeling a connection to the Anglican Church. I would say to my mom now, if she were listening, may your spirit take flight on the wings of thought and music. And I'll end with a quote from her favorite French novelist, Jean d'Ormesson, which illustrates to me why his novel was her favorite book. He said, "We shall all die, but we shall not die together. Something will be left behind us like a trail of light, to transmit to succeeding generations all that is great in work and in the imagination."
And more than crumbling palaces and mutilated statues, what shines forever in men's memories are the efforts of the mind to lift itself above everyday existence by laughter, metaphysical thought, the beauty of the word, and the brilliance of ideas. And I think we should add in Mom's memory music.
And on that note, we'll sing our next hymn, Amazing Grace. Would you please stand?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining us the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
Our tributes continue with Bowl Green.
Thank you, everybody, for coming out today in such terrible conditions. It's really appreciated. And thanks to Ann and Linda for really covering the whole chronology so that I can just focus on a couple of little anecdotes or stories that I want to tell that I think are kind of cute and sort of telling of Mom a little bit. So without really planning things today, a theme sort of came together. And the theme that we sort of noticed over the course of planning this event was to thine own self be true. And my mom, Marie, was fond of saying that and fond of all kinds of expressions for all different situations. But that one makes sense and I think fits perfectly for today. And completely separate to that, and without any kind of communication about that theme or anything about that saying, my brother Ward wanted me to include something in the ceremony, and I quote him, "She instilled in us the belief in self." Now, without editorializing that at all, I mean, it speaks for itself, but I found it interesting that that theme showed up sort of all over the place. So I just wanted to mention that. And it seems to be present, I think, in also in Mom's impact in the world, because I think we all embody that to a certain extent. But having said all that, I want to go in a bit of a different direction and relay a couple of stories of what I knew of Marie as a person and some of the things that she went through and some of the impact she had on me. So firstly, when she was growing up in Newfoundland, she often talked about how they didn't have a lot extra and often mentioned how they would get nuts and fruit in their stockings and a few nice things like maybe an ornament for the tree or a little wrapped doll, something like that. She used to say she loved cracking the nuts with the nutcracker. To our standards today, it seems like simpler times, and they weren't well-to-do by any means. But when we were growing up, at Christmas, there was always a big bowl of nuts and a nutcracker on the coffee table in the living room. And I only thought about this recently, but maybe that was just something, she wanted to share with us without sort of explicitly saying it. And we did enjoy that. We enjoyed cracking those nuts. When she left Newfoundland to be with my dad, she was a very young woman, and everything was new to her. As Linda said, she was quite adventurous. One story she was fond of telling, though, was how the first year when presents arrived from Newfoundland to be put under the tree, she was so excited that when my dad was away at school, she carefully opened each one to see what it was, and then equally carefully she rewrapped them all and returned them under the tree. Marie and my father were very devoted to each other in their early years together. When my dad's beloved Red Sox were playing in the World Series and he had to be away at work, my mother wrote down every play that happened in the game so that when he got home, he could read the game. My mom loved language, words, and songs, and was a very creative person in lots of ways. But she was also very practical and had a phrase or a saying for every situation. I remember in grade 11, struggling with having to write a weekly passion paper in English class. And when I told my mother I had run out of topics and that I hated writing passion papers, she didn't hesitate. She said, "Well, why don't you write about that?" So I did. I wrote a passion paper about hating writing passion papers, which I guess now they'd call that meta, right? But I learned from her that the obvious solution is often the reasonable way forward. The paper came back with a note at the bottom: "Nobody promised you a rose garden." Lastly, I just wanted to mention that my mom created a very welcoming home for others to come and be. And she appreciated all the kids in the neighborhood, all the kids. Don Denovan is here. He's one of my best friends from childhood. Really happy to have you here. And growing up, our house was one of those houses where kids could come and feel a lot of warmth and security, a place to play safely and be taken care of. It's hard to appreciate those things when you're young. You have no frame of reference, but it's something I look back on now with great appreciation. Marie was a true Newfoundlander, welcoming and warm, with a good sense of humor, a true scholar, inquisitive and open, and a very caring person who was concerned not just about her family, but about everyone in her community. And I just wanted to add one thing, a lyric that I think sort of sums up maybe what I learned from Mom, and I think she would have liked this lyric a lot. It's from a Ron Sexsmith song, and it goes, "When I listen to that inner voice telling me I have a choice, To condemn life or rejoice, I think I'll choose rejoicing. To condemn life or rejoice, I think I'll choose rejoicing.
One of the readings that Marie chose for her husband's funeral, Ralph, was it? For Ralph's funeral was Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. As I mentioned, our service today is complete here in the chapel, and I think we do well to hear the words of committal. So I would invite you to stand. You know, we're born into life, and we have a body that's created for us, and life is breathed into us. In the Old Testament, the word for spirit is ruach. In the New Testament, pneumatos. Both words mean wind. And what a beautiful image for spirit, something that we can't see, but we can see the effect it has on the world. We can feel its effect on us and others. It can move through us at the same time. It can be as strong as the winds that split the cedars of Lebanon, or as gentle as a baby's breath. We read that the Spirit breathes life into us and gives each of us a gift to share with the world. And there comes a time in life when the body can no longer sustain the spirit that is within. And so we commit the body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But we commit the spirit back to the universe, greater than the trees and the sky, back to be where it all began, and yet still with us, a shining, guiding light. And I'd like to end with another of my favorite poems by a British poet, Henry Scott Holland, All Is Well. Death is nothing at all. I have only slipped into the next room. I am I, and you are you. Whatever we were to each other, that we are still. So call me by my old familiar name. Speak to me in the easy way which you always used. Put no difference in your tone. Wear no forced air of solemnity or sorrow. Laugh, as we always laughed at the little jokes we enjoyed together. Play, smile, think of me, pray for me. Let my name be ever the household word that it always was. Let it be spoken without effect, without the trace of a shadow on it. Life means all that it ever meant. It is the same as it ever was. There is an unbroken continuity. Why should I be out of mind just because I am out of sight? I am waiting for you for an interval, somewhere very near, just around the corner. All is well. And as we prepare to go forward, Vera Lynn's We'll Meet Again.
Again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do. Dark clouds square.